Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. If I can get my technology to work, we'll be doing good. There we go. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I was telling Matthew, normally I get up here and I haven't figured out what I'm going to do because I just haven't got it all lined out yet and I haven't got it all together. Well, this morning I've got two lessons, and I'm still trying to decide right now which one I'm supposed to do. So they're both in the same passage. So one way or another, I have got something this morning, but it's unusual. Normally I don't have two to choose from. Can you turn me down just a little bit, Brother Bingham? Just a little bit, if you don't mind. I can hear myself and I don't like it. So I don't mind if you guys have to hear me. That's your problem. But I don't want to hear me. So Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I was looking at something this morning. I don't normally tell jokes in Sunday school, but you know how the moon cuts his hair, right? Eclipse it. The moon. Eclipse it. I know. I thought so. You know, Australia's biggest import is the boomerang. I just messed that up. Their number one export is the boomerang. It's also their number one import. I really messed that. That's one of my favorites too. I don't know how I messed that up. Oh well. It is what it is. Hopefully that's not an indication of how the Sunday school lesson is going to go this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, the last several weeks we've been working on Ephesians chapter 1. Just talking about some different things, some different characteristics of the Christian, different characteristics of the Christian life, and things that we should be, things that we are as Christians. And I haven't really, it's kind of a series, but I haven't really figured out how to name it. So I'm just going to talk about being blessed this morning. We're going to talk about being blessed. So Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here today. I just ask that you'd give me wisdom this morning, Lord. Give me the words to speak. Help what I say to be a blessing to someone here today. Help us to leave being better Christians and being better servants for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We think a lot about blessings. We talk a lot about blessings. There's hashtag blessed. It's everywhere, right? We did a it's been several years ago, we did a youth activity where we went to the store or went to the mall and they had to take pictures of different things. And one of the things they had to take pictures of was hashtag blessed, and it was all over the place. They all got pictures of that. But we think about God's blessings and we think about the good things that God does for us. And when we think about blessings, we think mainly of physical things. God's blessed us financially. God's blessed us with food. That's one of my favorite blessings is food. I love to eat. I love to eat. I could eat all day. I had boiled eggs for breakfast this morning, and I like boiled eggs. So I like to eat. When we think of blessings, we think of those kind of things. Financial blessings, money, good looks, just different things like that. We think of those kind of things when we think of blessings. And God does bless us with those things. But there are some things that God blesses us with that we often take for granted and we don't think about. And I want to talk a little bit about those this morning as well. But there are some things, before we get to that, there are some things that we do as Christians often that limit God's ability to bless us. We do things and God just kind of has to, what'd you do that for, stupid? I can't bless you because you did something you weren't supposed to do. Or I can't bless you because whatever reason it might be. And sometimes we do things in our own lives that prevent God from giving us the blessings that He wants to give us. I want to look at a few of those this morning. Number one, look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 with me this morning. I still can't talk. and look for a verse at the same time. Proverbs chapter 16. When we neglect our spiritual lives, God can't bless us. He can't bless us in the way He wants to when we neglect our spiritual life. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. God can bless us when we follow the Lord, when we do things in our spiritual life that please the Lord. There are some obvious things. We talk about them all the time. I drive these home to the teenagers almost every single week. Bible reading. What's the next one? Prayer. I heard a couple. Tithe. Church attendance. What's the last one? Soul winning. Very good. So we if we're not faithfully doing those things, God's not going to bless us in the way that He could, because we're not working that relationship with the Lord that we should have with Him. Why are we here? Matthew, tell me why we're here. What's our main purpose on earth? I'm putting him on the spot. To fellowship with the Lord. We were created for fellowship with God. That's why we were created. And when God looks down at me, He sees someone that He wants to have a relationship with. He sees somebody that He wants to talk to. He sees somebody that He wants to talk to Him. And when I am ignoring the Lord, guess what? When I ignored my dad, I didn't get a $20 bill for nothing. Right? When Lillian ignores me, and then suddenly she wants something, guess what? She's not getting it. When we don't nurture that relationship with the Lord, when we don't nurture that time with Him, that prayer, that Bible reading, that church attendance, that faithfulness to the Lord, and the soul winning and the tithe, when we're not doing those things, we're hindering God from being able to bless us. And there's nothing, the only thing we can do to avoid that is to get in our Bible. Spend time in prayer. Be at church. And I don't want to repeat them all over again. That's the fourth, fifth time I've repeated them. But they're important. They are so important. That relationship with God is so important. If you don't have it, He can't bless. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies with which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until He have destroyed thee. Failing to yield to God's plan, number two. Failing to yield to God's plan. When we're not living in God's plan, when we're not living in God's will, when we're not living in God's purpose, when we're not doing what God wants us to do, God can't bless us. Think of it like this for a moment. God, I want to pick on, let's see, who am I going to pick on today? Sammy? Oh, yes. Sammy's back there shaking his head. Sammy doesn't like to get picked on, but I like picking on Sammy, so we're going to pick on Sammy. So, Sammy, God has a plan for your life, right? He has a purpose for your life. He has a will. And Sammy, God looks down at Sammy and says, okay, Sammy, I want you to be at More Baptist Temple. But Sammy, you're over here at bigchurch.tv. Yeah. What are you doing over here? Sammy, my will for you is to be a Sunday school teacher at More Baptist Church. I got to get that right. My plan and my will for you is to be a Sunday school teacher at More Baptist Church. And Sammy is over here. Sammy, God says, you're over here being a dance instructor at bigchurch.tv. What are you doing, Sammy? And God says, Sammy, I have a plan over here for you. I want you over here. My blessings for you are over here. My plan, everything I have for you is right here. But Sammy, you're all the way over here doing something I never intended for you to do. You're over here doing things in an area, in a place, in a complete different will from what I have for you. God can't just pull. He's not going to just pull all the blessings from over here and bless Sammy all the way over here. God's not going to change His will. God's will for Sammy is right here. God's not going to change his will because Sammy wants to be over there. God can't bless Sammy over there because he's not doing what God wants him over here. When we get out of God's will and we go our own way and we go our own direction and we do our own thing, God has to withhold our blessings because our blessings are intended for this place right here. God's going to give us the blessings of extra finances because we're going to be using them where God wants us to use them. God's going to give us the blessings of good friends because guess where our good friends are? God's going to give us the blessings that we need and we want that we could enjoy and have because this is where they're supposed to be. But when we're over here, Sammy, at bigchurch.tv and not on the mission field or not pastoring a church somewhere or not teaching Sunday school where God intended you to teach Sunday school. When we're over here, God's blessings are not here. They're not going to be here because God can't give them to us. They're intended for over there. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. I'm probably going to be done really early. Maybe not. Proverbs chapter 11. How many of you know somebody that's always taking credit for something when they didn't do it? Other than Caleb. I think Caleb's the only one that I know. Maybe Alyssa. Alyssa does too. How many, you know people like that, right?
Yeah.
It's just irritating. When you know that Brother Jeremy did something and JR takes credit for it, it's like, JR, what were you thinking? Not very smart, right? It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's annoying. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. When we take credit for ourselves for something that God did for us, God's going to withhold those blessings. There comes a point where we become so proud of the things that we have or the things that we've accomplished or the things that we're doing. Look at the church I've built. Look at the Sunday school class I've built. Look at the bus route I've built. Look at the financial status that I have. Look, I've worked so hard all my life for it. Look at me. Look at what I did. Look at what I accomplished. And God looks down at Sammy and says, that wasn't very smart. I'm not giving you anything else because you're not giving me the credit for what I've done for you. When we take credit for what God's done for us, God's a little less willing to give us those blessings. Oh, I forgot a... Oh, man. That's why I'm moving so quick. I forgot an illustration that I was going to use. I'm going to have to go back. When we fail to yield to God's plan... I'm going back because I wanted to do this illustration. We fail to yield to God's plan. It's kind of like something that we do with Lillian. Not every week, but on Wednesday nights, we'll tell her... It's not every night, but she knows that if she finishes her supper before church... And we get to church, and she's good in church, and she's good in patch club, and Miss Jordan doesn't have anything bad to say about Lillian, which is pretty regular. If she knows that when we get out of church, and she's been good, she's finished her supper, there's not been any problem, guess what she gets to do? She gets to go get ice cream at Brahms. And she gets so excited about doing those things. She gets excited about going and getting ice cream. I get excited about going and getting ice cream. 90% of the time, the reason she gets to get ice cream is because her dad wants ice cream. I love ice cream. But if she meets those criteria, it's kind of going back to what we were talking about with Sammy. If he's meeting the criteria of doing God's will for his life, he's going to get an ice cream cone. I'm not buying you an ice cream cone tonight, so just forget that altogether. But if he's doing what's right, he's going to get an ice cream cone. But if he doesn't finish his supper, he doesn't get one. If he doesn't sit up and pay attention during church, he's not going to get one. right? So that's God's plan for our blessings works a lot the same way. If we are doing what God wants us to do, if we're living in that will, if we're doing meeting those criteria, the more we get the more we meet the criteria of God's will, the more blessings He's going to give. Anyway, I had to go back and do that. So God does give us those kind of blessings. He does give us financial blessings. He does give us good food sometimes. He does give us, He's blessed me with a good wife. He's blessed me with a good daughter most of the time. There are times when I question whether or not she's... I should not tell this. Makes me look bad, but that's okay. We were... When Lillian was born, right... You guys know, if you've had kids, you know when you're in a hospital, you're nothing but exhausted, right? Oh, this kid kept pooping. I mean, just, it was terrible. And she'd cry and it was just awful, right? And I, one of the nights that we were at the hospital, I just turned to Sandra and I said, can we just put her back? She wasn't very happy with me. I don't know why. No, we couldn't put her back. There are times when I'm really frustrated with her, and no, she's not getting what she wants. But anyway, no, God does bless us with those kind of things, but there are some things that the Lord does bless us with that we don't, sometimes we just take for granted. We don't think about. We just don't take advantage of the blessings sometimes that God gives us. Number one is joy. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope. We can have that joy and hope. What hope? The hope of salvation is in Romans chapter 5, or not Romans, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Look at that verse with me real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll get there in a minute, I promise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And I've talked about this with our teenagers before. I don't just hope for salvation. And we think of hope, we think of that anticipation of something that might happen, right? I hope I can go ride on that roller coaster. Lillian says, I hope we can go get an ice cream cone tonight after church. We have that, it's that anticipation of something that might be, right? That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse right here, it says, in the last part of that verse, it says, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. I don't hope in that sense for my salvation. Look at what, or listen to what Webster's 1828 defines the word hope. It's an opinion or belief not amounting to certainty, but grounded on substantial evidence. The Christian indulges a hope that his sins are pardoned. We have substantial evidence. That hope is substantial evidence that I have salvation. There's nothing, it's in black and white. I have no doubt in my mind. I have no question in my mind that I have salvation. That salvation and that hope, that knowledge, that certainty is something that gives me joy. And for every Christian, every person that's saved, every person that knows the Lord, every person that has accepted Christ as their personal Savior can have that joy from that hope of our salvation. We have that joy through the hope of our salvation. Number two, we have that joy as a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have ever had fruit trees? We have some fruit trees that never do anything. They're frustrating. But how many of y'all here are city folks? You consider yourself to be city people. Did you know that fruit doesn't just magically show up at the grocery store fully ripe, ready to eat? Wow, it's amazing. If there was any If I had to base fruit off of our fruit trees, I would believe that it just shows up at the store ready to eat. But fruit has to grow. It gets on those trees and it takes time. It gets a little bit bigger every day. It gets a little bit bigger every week. And sometimes a bird shows up, right? And pecks that fruit off of the tree. Sometimes a worm gets in that fruit and eats that fruit off of the tree. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that grows in us over time. That joy is something that will grow in you as a Christian over time. And you know what causes that growth? Feeding the Spirit. We talked about that a minute ago. If we're reading our Bible, if we're spending time in prayer, that joy, those fruits of the Spirit are going to grow. And you know what happens when you get backslidden? The fruit kind of falls off the tree. And you got to start all over again. You got to take some time and you've got to read your Bible again. You've got to pray. You've got to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to pick on Caleb for a minute here. Is that okay, Caleb? Can I pick on you for a minute? I was talking to Caleb the other night, and he was telling me, I need to read my Bible more. I need to spend some more time in prayer. And then he called me a couple days later, and he was all excited. He'd been reading his Bible, he'd been praying, and he got to talking to somebody at school. I hope I'm not taking your thunder for your sermon tonight, but I'm using it anyway. He got to talking to somebody at school, and they got for a couple of days, and they went and sat down at lunch, and after lunch, they went and kind of sat down in the gym for a little bit, and Caleb just asked him, he said, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He looked at him and said, you know what? I know for sure I wouldn't go to heaven. So Caleb pulled the track out of his pocket at school, a public school, pulled a track out of his pocket and led a classmate to the Lord. Amen. That gave you a little bit of joy, didn't it, Caleb? Caleb called me. He was excited. When we are doing what God wants, when we are reading our Bible, when we get that joy because we're feeding the Spirit. And the more we feed the Spirit, the more we feed that joy. We have that blessing of joy. You walk out and look, and the world is miserable. They are so miserable. They're looking to alcohol for pleasure, which, by the way, is a mocker. It mocks the Holy Spirit. They go to tobacco to calm them. They go to immorality. There's just so many things. They're looking for ways to get that joy. It's so easy as a Christian to have joy. We have that opportunity through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. God gives us a blessing of joy. He also gives us a blessing of peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Ooh, what did it do here? When you open God's Word and you're frustrated, you open God's Word and you're discouraged, you open God's Word and you're ticked off. By the way, it's a really hard time to open God's Word and read. When you're mad at somebody or mad about something, it's not very easy to do that. But if you do, there's comfort in reading about God's power. There's comfort. Believe it or not, there's comfort in reading about God's vengeance. When you're mad about something, ticked off, there's comfort in reading about God's vengeance. You get him, Lord. I'll stand here and watch. There's comfort in that. It's kind of weird, but it's true. There's comfort in reading about knowing that he sees our cares and he sees our troubles and he sees our difficulties. There's comfort in knowing that God pays attention to the little details. It doesn't mean a whole lot when God numbers the hairs on Brother Jeremy's head. They are still there. But knowing that God even knows exactly the number of hairs that I have on my head and you have on your head, He pays such attention to those fine little details of each and every one of us. There's comfort in that. There's peace in knowing that I have a God that loves me enough to know every little detail about who I am, what I am, where I am in life, what I need, what I don't need, where He can bless me, where He can't. There's peace in that. And the world has no clue. It's a peace that they don't understand. It's a peace that they can't have without Him. And we miss that blessing sometimes, but that blessing comes as a Christian in spending our time in God's Word, in spending our time in prayer, in spending our time at church, in spending our time giving to the Lord and doing those things for Him. So we have that peace through His Word. We have that peace for our cares, worries, and troubles, 1 Peter 5:7 says. We have that peace by being in His care. Look at Psalms chapter 4. Psalms chapter 4. Psalms chapter 4, verse 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know, being in God's will, which side was God's will? This side was God's will. Being in God's will is the safest place you'll ever be. Well, what about those martyrs that were doing God's will that got burned at the stake? That doesn't sound very safe to me. Have you read the stories of them singing hymns, the peace that they had even while they were being burned? They were where God wanted them, and God gave them a peace. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it. I'm not in that place. I'm not in that position. I am not being burned at the stake right now. I don't understand that peace. But God gave them a peace because they were in the place God wanted them to be. When we are doing God's will, when we are living where God wants us to live, when we're following His will, there's an amazing peace there that is just not understandable to human nature. You can't understand it. First John chapter 5, verse 13. I'm almost done. 1 John chapter 5. This is a big one for a lot of people. And the older you get, the bigger this becomes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's peace in knowing that I'm going to meet again. There's peace in knowing that I'm going to meet again. How many of you know somebody that you love that's gone to heaven? Hold your hand up. I could think of a whole lot of people. The older you get, am I right? Tell me I'm wrong. The older you get, the more people you know that are in heaven, right? The more people you know, the more people that you love. Sandra's mom is in heaven. Caleb, Brianna, and Alyssa's dad now is in heaven. There's peace in knowing someday you're going to get to go back up to heaven. Not back up to heaven. You're going to get to heaven and you're going to meet up with them again. You're going to see them again. Have you ever been to a funeral where someone wasn't saved and none of the family are saved? There's no salvation involved. God is not in the family at all. Those funerals are miserable because they know they're done. I'm not going to see them again. It's not going to happen. But we can have that peace in knowing if I'm saved and they're saved, I will see them again. There's a peace there that the world just doesn't understand. And that's a blessing that God gives us. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. Psalms 118, verse 24. There's peace in life. Psalms 118, 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I don't like getting up in the morning. Is there anybody else in here that's not a morning person? For the rest of you, I don't like any of you. As much as I don't like getting up in the morning, when I get up in the morning, it's a fresh day. It's another morning that I got to take a breath. It's another morning that I get to see my wife. I get to give her a kiss every morning. Nice, slobbery, stinky breath kiss every morning. I get to see Lillian every day. That gift of life is one more day I get to spend with them. That gift of life is one more week I get to spend with you guys at church. That gift of life is one more day I get to get up and go to work. Some people don't like that. Some days I don't like that. But that's a fact. God has given us that gift as a blessing. If God didn't want to bless us, He would never have given us life to begin with. And then last this morning, Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. God gives us the blessing of family. Friday, we came up here to the church and we watched, we watched a movie and had pizza. That was good pizza, by the way. Mrs. Gonzo's not in here. She told us about a pizza place we tried. It was good. I ate way too much, but it was good. We came up here and watched a movie, and one of the things about that movie was the importance of the family. The family's important. There are times when family makes mistakes. My family made some mistakes, some big ones. There are things that I learned from my dad that I will do for the rest of my life. There are things that I learned from my dad that I will never do. I decided that a long time ago as a teenager. There are things that my parents did as parents I'm just not going to do because I didn't care for that. I didn't like it. There are things that they did that I will always do. Young people, and I mentioned this to them Friday night, but I'm going to mention it again because it's important. It bears repeating. Your parents love you. They have your best interest at heart. There are times when they're going to make mistakes. It's not your position to determine that they're making a mistake. It's your position to do what they tell you to do. But whether they make a mistake or not, they spent thousands of dollars changing your diapers. They spent thousands of dollars putting food in front of you. They spent probably more than thousands. If you got boys, you probably spent a lot more than thousands of dollars feeding them. I feel like I've spent thousands of dollars feeding Lillian. That girl has a hollow leg sometimes, usually if there's ice cream involved. Listen, though, your parents love you a whole lot more than you realize. It's something you're not going to understand until you grow up, you get married, you have kids. I did not understand it. I thought I did. I thought, yeah, Mom loves me. It hurts her worse than it does me when she gives a spanking. Yeah, sure. It's an unbelievable difference, the love that you have for your kids. They would be willing to put their lives on the line for you guys. They love you so much. Don't throw it away. Don't brush them aside. Don't push them off. Listen to what they have to say. They're a blessing for you from God. Parents, your kids are a blessing to you from the Lord. As irritated as I get with Lillian sometimes, she's a blessing. She's one of those ones I either really love spending time with her, or go help your mom in the kitchen. And then all she does is say, go help your dad outside. So we get in this thing, we just send her back and forth, and we enjoy the time that she's running from one to the other. Your kids are a blessing. Your parents are a blessing. There's something that you just can't replace. Enjoy the time that you have. Love each other. Enjoy that blessing of family. God's given us so many blessings. He's given us so many good things. A lot of times we take those for granted. Don't take the joy of the Lord for granted. Don't take His peace for granted. Don't take your life, the daily life that you're given, don't take it for granted. And don't take the blessing of family for granted. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for today, Your blessings. Thank You for each and every one that's here this morning.